Welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of Blasty Banter. Apologize for the tardiness. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today. This week, we will be looking at what to watch for now. For the entirety of the season, basically, we have been getting ready for the trade deadline. Well, trade deadline has come and gone, and now here we are. What is left? So that is what the focus of the show is going to be today. First of all, thank you guys so much for all of the views on the all-time team. That was really cool to see. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. If you want more content like that, I'm going to be doing a little bit more as the season kind of winds down here. But today the focus is on the here and now with the Calgary Flames and what is next for this team. I think the big news out of the trade deadline, after we cover the Hanifin thing, coming out of the trade deadline, is that Jacob Markstrom is still here. And that is, to me, it is surprising. I don't think it is as big of a disappointment as others. I do still think there is going to be a pretty heavy market for him in the summer, right around draft time, or just in the offseason in general. And I think that this is still going to be a market that the Flames are going to be able to take advantage of. I would still be extremely surprised if Jacob Markstrom is the goalie come the start of next season. I think that time has come and gone. We have seen Dustin Wolf, and we'll talk about him in a little bit, get a little bit more comfortable with more consistent reps at the National Hockey League level. Surprise, surprise, right? But I don't think that anything that happens here in the next 14 games would affect Markstrom's value at all, unless, right, his Achilles pops or something. But barring catastrophic injury, I don't think that there is anything that would affect Markstrom's value. And so if that right deal wasn't there for the Flames, which it sounds like it may have been from the New Jersey Devils, and that's the part of it that stings. I'll get to that in a second. But I do think that this was one that you could kick the can down the road on. Excuse me, a little bit. So I think this is, I still think that this is going to happen. I personally think it's going to happen before the draft, allowing the Flames to get maybe a little bit more draft capital in this particular draft, and whether they want to use that to move up or how they want to do things will be very interesting. But I believe that this is going to be a move that gets done. The reason that it does sting right now is because, A, you had a perfect suitor in the New Jersey Devils, right? But all season long, there have been perfect suitors. Toronto went through a stretch where they desperately needed a goalie. Edmonton went through a stretch where it didn't seem like they had any NHL goalies on their roster. Both of those situations have kind of normalized a little bit, but New Jersey's hasn't. And I was saying before, the Devils are a team that could win the Stanley Cup with a goalie like a Jacob Markstrom. They have that much talent on the rest of the roster. Now, the defense has taken a bit of a blow with Dougie Hamilton, so it's maybe not as good, but this was still a team that could compete for a championship if they just made one move with the Flames. And so knowing that, it does get a little bit frustrating from a Calgary standpoint that this thing couldn't get done. But I don't think there is that desperation that there was for the obvious reasons with the Hanifin, with the Tanev, with a Lindholm and others. So I am fine with this. It's not the perfect result. You kind of just want it all done now instead of just like, okay, well, here's another season where we're talking about getting rid of all of these guys. So I do think that this is, it's not a giant loss. It's not a giant win, obviously, from a Flame standpoint. But I do think that this whole trade period showed that the Flames are at least somewhat committed to moving this thing in the right direction. We will just see now how next offseason looks, because I do think that is a little bit interesting here for next offseason. The Flames have two picks in the first round. There is a condition on theirs, which is complicated, but they have two picks in the first round, two picks in the second round, two picks in the third round, two picks in the fourth round, nothing in the fifth, and then a sixth, and nothing in the seventh. So they have a lot of draft capital they could work with. I do wonder if they use all of those, quite frankly. And we'll see now this offseason, how committed are they to doing like the retool rebuild thing? Or are they going to look to try to get this thing going on the fly and just turn it around for next year? Looking at Cap Friendly, they have $18 million in cap space for next season. Dustin Wolf is a RFA for next year, so we'll see what comes of that. Gilbert... I still haven't figured out how to fully pronounce this kid's name. Okadiak, and Oliver Shillington need new deals along with AJ Greer. But aside from that, that there isn't a lot. And now you look at what could be coming up for trade pieces for next season. It's a guy we've talked about a little bit. Andrew Mangiapane's contract is up after next year. Same thing with Andre Kuzmenko. Sharon Govich's is up, as is Rooney's. And Joel Hanley. So the two that are the most interesting, I think Sharon Govich gets locked in, right? He's 25 years old. He has been everything that the Flames would want coming into this season and then some. Like, we have, I would say, far surpassed best case scenario with Sharon Govich. And so that is one that I think a deal gets done on. I would guess the Flames try to move Kuzmenko and turn that into a little bit more and keep the Elias Lindholm trade tree going. But I would suspect that happens. I don't think he comes back. And then the Mangiapane one is interesting. You guys, if you've listened to me, whether it's on here, whether it's twitch.tv/primetimepk, you guys know I am souring on Andrew Mangiapane. And so that is, I think, the big decision that they're going to have to make going into next season is, sorry, just get choked up thinking about it. Do they lock this kid up long-term? Like, is he just a Flame? Or do you move on from him? I think, like, the Lindholm one, it was obvious he was going to price himself out of Calgary. Same thing, like, Hanifin probably as well. And Tanev, it made sense to move him. There is a part of me that wonders if Tanev is back next year as a free agent signing. But that's neither here nor there right now. But, like, those ones seemed obvious. The Mangiapane one doesn't, because he's right in that age where you could say, oh, no, well, just, like, 7 years, we'll lock him in, and he's 34 years old. But the production has not been there when he hasn't been with one of the best lines in the league with Backlund and Coleman. Since his 35-goal season, he back in 21-22. Last year, 17 goals in 82 games. This year, 13 goals in 66 games. Like, it just, we know he put the puck in the net a whole lot with the Barrie Colts. He had a couple 20-goal seasons with the then Stockton Heat. So, like, you can squint and see, like, a lot of talent there. But I feel like it has kind of fallen for him. I don't think he has it. So that would be a move that I would make, is to kind of move him along. But we'll see what direction the Flames go. As far as what to watch for the rest of the season, I think, like, obviously it's the kids, right? And you look at, Sandra tweeted out the lines for the Wranglers the other night, and the defensive group, basically all of them, aside from Poolman, with all due respect, basically all of them's like, you know what? Could see that guy with the Flames. Like, all of them are pieces that I'm interested about from a Calgary Flames standpoint. So they have done, I think, a pretty good job of building up that decor with exciting pieces. Some of them aren't as exciting, right? Like, what we know, that there's a couple of them that you get really excited about and a couple of them that are just, like, kind of stay-at-home guys. But they have built this defense up now to a point where you could cycle quite a few guys in. And I think the training camp competitions next year for these spots are going to be very, very fascinating to see. And the forward group, like, I think they've done an all right job with that as well. It is too bad that Pelche gets sent down. It hasn't clicked in the way that you would like it to click so far from a Calgary Flames standpoint with him. But I still think that's coming. It's been a weird year with the injury kind of slowing him down. I think a full training camp next year, a full offseason, all of that will do wonders for this kid. After a couple of tumultuous seasons here with Calgary. But the main thing we're watching for are the kids. And I think specifically on the blue line, who's going to step up? Is anyone going to step up? Because now there's, like, a full second pairing that is just wide open for someone to jump into. I would say right now Shillington has one of those spots on lockdown, but after that, it's kind of wide open. So who steps up on this blue line to go out and make a statement and say, look, I am this guy going forward. Don't worry about the other guys. Just focus on me. I got this job on lockdown. I think that is definitely the direction that the Flames want some of these kids to go. And I think the other one that is really intriguing is, how does Huberto finish this season? It has turned around slightly for Jonathan Huberto. We still kind of have an understanding that 115 points probably isn't in the cards anymore for this guy. But he is at 43 points now in 67 games. And that is with a month where he had 0 points in all of the games. So I think that it'll be interesting to see how the chemistry continues to develop, who they continue to play him with, and how does this progress as the season kind of winds down. And then the Kuzmenko part of it as well. He is such a tantalizing player. His passing ability is so much better than I was expecting it when he came over from the Canucks. Obviously, the shot is lethal, and I think he has really, really helped out the power play. But there is that inconsistent nature to his game that you get very frustrated by. So I just want to see a little bit more consistency from his game over the last 14 games here. And then the obvious one is Dustin Wolf. It has been quite the debate around this player over the last couple of weeks in this market. I, for one, am a little surprised at how easy some people are to just jump off the bandwagon on this one. A couple of rough outings in a season that has been so inconsistent for him. But now that he starts to get a bit of a groove at the NHL level and gets a couple of starts in a row, oh, look at that. He turns into, you know, this high-level goalie prospect. There is, you cannot convince me, even based on some of the stuff we see this year, that this kid isn't going to be at least very good for years to come. I just don't believe that. And we'll see, like, in a couple of years, does it fall off? Maybe. But based off of this year, you're not going to be able to convince me that. I just think he is too talented to have it just all go away, but then go back to the AHL level and, oh, look at that, he's shining again. Like, I feel like there is an NHL goalie in there. You just have to treat him like a regular NHL goalie, and he will figure it out. The last one here today is some sad news, as we found out that Chris Simon passed away earlier this week from suicide. And from a hockey standpoint, like, he was just one of those tough guys that everyone, you hated him when he wasn't on your team, and you loved him when he was on your team. And, like, you knew something big was going to happen when he was out on the ice. It is a style of play and a style of player that doesn't necessarily exist in the National Hockey League anymore. And from a entertainment standpoint of it, that is too bad. From a real life standpoint of it, this exact situation is why people are trying to get this thing out of the game. And, like, I know that there is a level of hypocrisy from me, because one of my favorite, my absolute favorite sport is combat sports, right? And so there's a lot of head trauma in that. And it's just, it's a difficult thing to wrap your head around, because there is an entertainment aspect of this. And whenever there's fights and big hits or whatever, we get super excited about it. But as we learn more and more about the brain and learn more and more about how this sort of a thing can really deteriorate rather quickly and the tragic results that come from it, it is incredibly frustrating how much of a blind eye has been turned to concussions. And they've gotten a lot better about it. There's no question. The NHL and the NFL have got significantly better about informing their players and caring about their players when it comes to head trauma. It's not perfect. It is not close to perfect in any league. But we are at least coming a little bit of a ways. But when you see stuff like this, you are understanding, A, we have a long way to go, and B, we have a really long way to go when it comes to taking care of these players after their playing career is done. Yes, they get paid handsomely, but it's not just like they take the money and run. These guys have to live their real lives now after it, and when you're dealing with that level of brain trauma, it can be very difficult. So hopefully no one else has to go through this for the NHL to wake up and realize that some of these guys need real legitimate help, and hopefully they're able to get them that help. But just, it's so incredibly sad to see that news this week. All right, a bit of a down note to end the show on, but that's how we're going to wrap this thing up. You guys can follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm at Primetime Klein, twitch.tv/PrimetimePK. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/CouchPotatoDiary. Email the show, couchpotatodiary@yahoo.com. Next week, we'll see what's coming up. Might start looking at some mock drafts and some prospects to get excited about. And that's kind of where this season is at. So thank you guys so much, and I will talk to all of you later.
Ball's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.